Yo, what's good, everybody? I'm Trey.
It's your boy, Million.
And you have now tuned in to Listening to Million.
Hey, man. Say, man. This is Deeper Than a Podcast. Y'all see we in the deep end today, and we have a special guest with us.
Hello, guys. I'm back. Nice to meet you. I'm Elise Nicole, by the way.
There we go. What's up?
The name.
How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
We're pretty good. Can't complain.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Okay. I had a great day today.
That is the first guest
that's ever asked
that has asked how our day was.
You know what's funny? I was actually watching. Okay, like, I don't want to make this like. Okay. I was watching you guys' videos and stuff. Uh-huh. And it was a video where I forgot it was you or Trey. But he was like, I never get asked how am I doing today. And I was just like, aw.
That was definitely me. That was definitely me. I'd be feeling salty. I'm like, damn, nobody asked me. I remember there was one pot that it just went. Nobody asked me. And I was kind of salty that whole pot because I was like, oh, God, these niggas ain't care.
And we did that with intentions. Like, we wanted to see how people felt. It was my idea. Like, I feel like every episode we asked, like, how are you? What'd you do today? Just to see how you
Facts.
Just because in general in life you may be good. Today it's always a new day.
Right.
You never know how somebody's feeling in the moment.
Like, right.
So are you really doing good? A lot of people say they're good, but are you really?
I feel refreshed. I think, yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah. Right. Okay, can't complain about anything. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, when you say refreshed, what do you mean?
Okay. So, I had just came back into the country from Italy, and I was touring with my grandmother. It was kind of like a thing we do. We started it when I was, like, in eighth grade, and I was graduating, and we had first went to Paris, and, like, ever since, we kind of just have the tradition of going, like, across the world and traveling together. So, we brought that back. Obviously, COVID messed up 2021, but I think in 2020 I was actually supposed to go to Italy for, like, study abroad, but you know, everything got messed up, so that was like our makeup trip. And yeah, I feel refreshed. I feel like I can operate now. Like, I just was just feeling stress, work, school, and I'm just like, okay, summer, I'm good now, you know.
I feel it yeah. So much.
Have you ever been out the country, Million?
I've never been out of the country. I really want to, though.
It's really nice. I haven't
been out of the country since I was, like, I want to say last time I went somewhere was I was, like, 15 years old.
What was the most, like, interesting thing you've seen in Italy?
Oh, okay. It wasn't actually anything about the culture. It was just really a funny story that something that happened to us. So we went to Rome. So we went to Venice, Florence, and Rome.
Okay.
And Rome is basically, like, New York. It's filled with a lot of scammers. And shit. So we didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Or at least I didn't know that.
I would have never guessed that Rome had scammers.
It's like one of the most popular cities. It was also the most cities I saw the most black people too. I was just like, wow, because Venice had none. Florence was like, kind of, but Rome, every, you know, I saw a community there. So
was
I was just like okay.
Black people, or was it like?
It was more like a lot of Africans there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are the scammers.
No, actually. No, actually. I was a little surprised because, so he was, I want to say, maybe a 50-year-old man. We had got off the train. Mm-hmm. We started from Venice, then we went to Florence, then we made our way up to Rome.
Yeah.
So when we got to Rome, got off the train, we're looking for a taxi. Next thing you know, this guy's like, taxi, taxi. I'm like, oh, taxi. My grandma over here coming with the bags and stuff. She got her own bag, obviously. And I'm like, he has a taxi for us. She over here telling them where to go. He was like, oh, it's going to be like $43, $48. When you start negotiating with a taxi driver and you haven't even given them the address yet, that's how you know that's like the wrong
thing. That's not scamming. That's finessing.
He's
trying to get over on tourists.
No, but then...
That's what they do everywhere. Like, in every country I've ever been to, like, that's the number one thing they'll try to do. Like, when I went to Mexico, I wanted to buy this artifact. I forgot what it was. It was like the little pyramids in Mexico. The Aztec pyramid.
Yeah.
It was like one of those mini ones. And he wanted to charge me $50 American for a little mini pyramid. I was like, I'll give you $5. And he said yes.
Right.
But that's just all they try to finesse people.
Right.
We don't know. They think we know no better because we're tourists, that we have money.
Exactly. And like, I'm just like, okay. Also, the one thing that was wrong was he wasn't in a taxi car. He was outside of the taxi car. And I don't know why I just didn't pay attention to this, because all of them were lined up. But at the time, I didn't see any taxi cars when he said taxi. So next thing you know, were taking our bags. He took my bag and took and she's dragging her bag. Next thing you know, he's dragging us like three blocks down. We get to his fucking car, like his actual car. It's not no taxi car. What? So then she's like getting so pissed off too. She's like, "Sir, where are you taking us?" And he was like, "Come on, come on, come on!" Like not wow. speaking any English. And the next thing you know, gets to his car, and then she was like, "We're not getting in your car." He's like, "Come, come in." And she was like, "No." And he was just like, "Ciao." And then she said, "Ciao, you too, motherfucker." I was just like, "Oh,
that's
my God.
Crazy, bro."
I couldn't stop laughing the whole time.
I can't even be mad at you that you got finessed, because when we went to New York, there was the street performers that was trying to finesse. These niggas.
He finessed the fuck out of Million.
Oh, God.
He had us standing in the same spot. 40 minutes to see this nigga
freezing cold. Freezing cold. I swear, this nigga said, "We're about to," he had a big ass crowd around him, 10 people. I'm about to jump it. I'm like, there's no way he's not finna jump when there's hella people around him. Mm-hmm. This nigga taking hella money. I watched this nigga for about 20 minutes. Traeger gets tired and my cameraman gets tired. And I'm like, "Bro, come on, bro. This nigga's about to jump. He's lining niggas up right now."
Did you already pay him?
No, I ain't pay shit.
Okay.
But I was. It's the most valuable thing is time.
Right.
He took our time, and I felt very hurt because I even asked the police officers that was there. I walked up to the nigga, and I was like, "Hey, bro, are these niggas really finna jump?" He was like, "Yeah." And I said, that nigga's in on it. Uh-huh. That cop is in on the fucking joke, bro. He said, "They're eventually jump when they get enough money." I said, "Oh, okay." That's when I said, "All right, it's time to leave."
And it wasn't the money. What they do, because didn't he say the thing about how they eventually wait for the people to, like, the line to start dwindle down. Because eventually the niggas in line, they standing there too. Mm-hmm. So that line went from, like, 10 niggas to, like, 2. And that's when he jumped. And we was like, and we had walked around Times Square, came back, and then we finally seen him jump over 2 people. And we was like, wow, we would have been there that whole time. Fucking with this nigga Million.
To jump.
Wow. I don't know, bro. I was, and it was kind of a little bit of me, like, feeling, like, pride, I guess. I'd be catching pride at the wrong moments. Cause I'm like, these niggas, I said, nigga, they're about to jump, bro. Like, they got so tired. Like,
you wanted to be right.
Yes,
it was okay.
Bro. I was like, bro, I promise you. I promise you they're about to jump, bro.
And all Savine wanted to do was take pictures, bro.
Facts.
That's all that nigga wanted to do. He almost got his ass beat by a hot dog dude. A nigga was selling hot dogs. He took a random Arab man. That nigga got so pissed. Like, he was telling him to delete it, all that shit. That shit was funny.
I'm dead.
So where else have you traveled?
Okay, so I started traveling when I was 14. So we had went to Paris, France. Then we went to London. And then that was that trip. So I was going to go to the Bahamas. Mm. But I got caught for smoking. So I couldn't go.
Damn.
This is in high school, by the way.
Damn.
I was smoking with the principal's daughter.
What?
Yeah.
How does that work?
We played basketball together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Shout out to her.
So how'd you get caught?
I was smoking with her out of a potato.
Yeah.
It was on some fiend shit, I'm not gonna lie.
Hold on, out of a potato.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah. No, it was on some fiend shit. And so we had got a potato, we had some weed, we were in my room, and I thought my dad was asleep. And so picture my room and then his room and then like a bathroom in the middle. Mm-hmm. And there's a walkway. So we're smoking at the back window that kind of travels to his room. So he could smell that, you know, coming in. I'm thinking he's asleep and the window's closed. So next thing you know, all I hear is my dad, like, he's kind of scary. Yeah. So he'd be like, boom, and then he opened the door. He was like, "I know you're fucking not."
Damn. Damn.
And I got so scared. I threw that potato out the window. And then, yeah, I got kicked out the house for like 3 months.
Damn.
Then I had to go live with my mom. And, yeah.
Talk about a baked potato.
It was a baked, it was literally a baked, oh my God.
That shit was fun.
I didn't mean to make the joke after you told me you got kicked out, but I was thinking about it for a long time.
That shit was fun. Get it out. Fun, bro. That shit was fun.
Yeah, I was living with my mom though, because they're not together. Yeah. So, you know, it wasn't like a real kick out the house. It was just like, I can't stand you right now. So I'm just going to, you know, because that was my second time. Yeah.
Okay. So, do you still partake in those activities?
I plead the fifth. I will not say this on camera.
Okay, that's perfect. That's all that. That's all that needs to
that
be
answers
said.
Y'all questions.
Hey, I'm saying that's all
you
that
can
needs
take
to be
whatever
said.
You want out of that.
Hey, that's all that needs to be said. So, Elise Nicole.
Yes.
Your comments on selling your soul sparked some controversy.
Selling your soul, yay!
So, do you feel like you changed your perspective on that, or how do you feel about it?
I mean, I'm in the music industry. Like, I talk to music executives. Like, I'm not going to shout anybody out because, like, I know that's not my business to do. But when I'm talking to these people and to certain people that have been in this industry, like, I'm not – it's funny because I do watch videos about, like, how people have their symbolisms of, like, the one-eye shit or, like, the cheetah print. Apparently those things mean something. Like, cheetah print apparently means, like – you're selling sex, apparently. Ah. The one eye means, like, you're praising the devil.
You know what? The cheetah print makes sense. Because all strippers in 2008 to 2017 had the cheetah print tattoos all down their body.
Mm-hmm.
That shit's crazy.
Mm-hmm. But I don't believe I like to say that I love God. So for me, I don't think selling your soul is you have to, even to enter this music industry and to be go mainstream, I don't believe you have to start praising the devil and doing shit like that in order to be successful. I just don't understand that type of mentality. Like, what are these people in these offices being like, okay, so you're going to have to probably get some implants and probably put some cheetah print on and, you know, start covering your eye and shit. But I have been seeing that, actually. I've been noticing that on girls' videos.
But think about this, though. What is the most popular movie genre?
Porn?
I know she did not just say that shit.
What is that cop?
That shit is facts, though. Okay. Pornhub be breaking up the millions of views.
It's not technically a movie.
It be the smallest videos, and it be
that'll
like
be played in
millions of views.
That be played in theater. Rated R?
But horror movies.
That's
evil,
true.
Evil sells. People like to sell evil. I don't know what it is about. Like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Saw. Those are some of the biggest movie franchises.
Chill. It's dark outside, nigga.
I can't see past the gate.
Come on,
like,
now.
Like, no cap, this is some scary shit right now, bro.
No, but do y'all believe in, like, demons and stuff?
For sure.
Y'all hear that?
I do, too. I feel like if I could believe in a faith in God, I feel like the devil is real and demons are real. Like, have you ever had sleep paralysis?
Yes.
Okay, I've had two. I have had it too. It's really fucking weird.
No, my dream was crazy though. Did you have a dream with yours, or were you just like stuck in a
box? I have some. Okay, damn it. We're getting into it.
And we're getting into it.
So you tell yours. You tell yours, and I'll tell mine.
I had a sick sleep paralysis. I was like 17 years old. I had two in my life. One, I was being dragged down by like some niggas in black and the devil. And then I was being pulled up by my mom, my best friend, Auden, and my football coach. God, and Jesus. So I was like, what the fuck? So I woke up from that shit. And then, like, a month and a half later, I had this dream. I watched hella Blade. Like, Blade was my favorite movie for, like, 3 weeks. So I watched every single Blade movie there was, from the old Blade to the new Blade. And I had a dream that I was being held down by some vampires, and they injected me with some shit. And on God, I thought I was dying in real life. I swear to God, like, I was being held. I was trying my hardest to wake up. I was like, you're not going to get me. They injected me with that shit, but I thought I was going to die. Like, I dead ass thought I was dead. Like, I was Googling, like, what happens when you get injected by vampires? Like, I thought I was dead.
No, in Google, they let you know. Nigga, you're probably dead right now.
You're probably dead.
You're probably dead right now.
You didn't wake up from that dream.
Little did you know, you're really dead.
I swear to God.
Oh, God, that's Google for you, bro. All right, so what about you?
I didn't have, okay, it's not as, like, you know, graphic like that, but it's more of, like, you feel like you're awake. So I felt like I was awake. I think I was awake. But I just couldn't move. And then it was at my dad's house. And I have, like, my bed, and then my door is kind of, like, far away. And just, yeah, like, so I kind of just saw just a little figure. Oh, fuck no. Just, like.
Oh, fuck no.
But that shit was crazy.
That shit worse than vampires. Oh, God. At least I could feel it. Like, when I said I was trying my hardest to get up, and the vampire was like, nah, nigga, like, you take this.
Nigga, I feel eyes on me right now. I'm so scared.
Yeah.
Right,
Yeah, there's like someone like right, yeah, right next to you. Yeah.
And a flashlight.
I'm not looking. On God, I'll probably be the first one out of this bitch. I kid you not. I'm not getting caught.
It's a sign that says I'm going home with Million tonight.
I'll trip y'all up first. All right, so with my skate. Wait, hold on. You saw a black figure though?
Yeah, it was like kind of fuzzy.
That's worse than being drugged now.
And so, like, how long was it though? Was you just staring at it and it was staring back at you?
No. It's so hard to explain. Okay, so imagine like how this light looks, but black, and like it's just a circular figure, and then you kind of just like shit like this, and then it's all black. And it's just standing there. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm going back to sleep. Like, I just closed my eyes. I just closed my eyes.
You ain't turn on no cartoons?
Fuck no.
Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that feels safer. Like, for some reason, I feel like cartoons keep me safe when I have some scary-ass dreams, bro. I turn on Nickelodeon. I turn on SpongeBob or some shit, and I feel good. I feel safe.
When I have a scary dream, I turn on Joe Rogan.
You're tripping. That nigga's even scary.
I don't know about his jokes, but he's funny as fuck.
All right, so my scary-ass, I have really two. The first one was pretty fast. I just had black hands choking me out when I was a kid.
What the fuck?
And I was like, and I really couldn't breathe.
That ain't scary dream for me no more.
What?
Nothing.
But yeah, that was that. But the second one was really the most scariest one that I've ever had. I remember waking up in my room and like it was all red. I was like, what the fuck? And the only thing that wakes me up from these crazy-ass dreams is cursing. Like, I got to curse and let myself know, like, I'm still in charge of this motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
So, I these bugs is on my dick, bro. God damn, bro. Shit, hop off.
Y'all making me think something's biting me, but I don't feel nothing, but at the same time.
It's the water running down my back because I keep messing up down, but I see Mills start fucking
with me. Nah, but okay. So my room was all red, and then I was like, fuck it, I'm going to walk. So I walk through my room, and it's just like all red. Like the hall is all red. And I walk down a little bit. And then this is what I said, like verbatim. Fuck no. I'm out. I said, fuck no. I'm out. I turn back around and I just hear footsteps chasing after me as I run back. I run back into my fucking room. I see my body laying there, bro.
Oh no, that's the craziest.
And I jump in. I said, oh no, fuck no. I just jumped in. And when I jumped in, boom, I woke back up. That shit scared the hell out of me, bro.
I hate having dreams where I can see myself.
That shit's
I've never had one of those
me.
Dreams.
Oh, that shit's crazy.
But I feel like now that we're talking about it, I'm probably going to have a dream like that tonight.
It's a full moon in this bitch, too? Nah, I'm playing.
don't play like that.
And then full moons be on some different shit, bro. No cap, bro. No cap.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. But you were saying, like, you believe in the devil. I don't know if I necessarily believe in the devil. I don't.
Do you believe in God?
I believe in God.
So how do you not believe in the devil?
I think there's nothing stronger than, like, if there's a real God, I don't think there's anything that would be stronger than him or even on his level. And I feel like God is really, like, an evil scientist, but a great scientist at the same time. Like, he created bad so that we could feel good.
But they say the devil was God's fallen angel.
Yeah.
Which is why he...
That he created, though.
He did create him, so that's why he can never that's why the devil can never overtake the power of God.
Right.
But at the same time, that doesn't mean that the devil can't make us sin.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
nah, the devil can't make us sin.
Good always.
You don't think so?
No, I hate when black people be like, "Oh, you're fat. I'm fat. That's the devil." No,
what? No,
no,
it's not shit like that.
Eat fucking healthy. Stop blaming it. I low key feel bad for the nigga at this point because everything is blamed on the devil, bro.
I don't agree with that statement, but like being fat is crazy, and I'm fat.
Being fat, you're not fat.
I'm fat, but I
know
like
what fat looks like.
Being fat,
as long as your belly don't go over your waistline, you're not fat.
Okay, wait. I know it's like an interview, like supposed to be interviewing me, but I just like conversation.
We just talking.
So
this is sit down with us.
Okay, bet. We was talking about this, me and my dude. I was basically saying how not many people, so I'm from LA. We have like a whole bunch of like healthy shit out there.
Yeah.
Like it's preached, but you know LA is more white culture, or you actually have like a lot of Asian people. Like, it's not many black people out there. And if they are, they actually are fit. Mm-hmm. The thing when I came to Atlanta is...
Lean bellies, boy.
I did not see one like
and drink lean.
Fit person. I'll say fit. I don't want to say skinny. But I didn't see like I don't see like none of them. But I see more of a like thicker ratio out here. I don't know if it's like the culture of the BBL.
That's my period.
I don't know if it's like
exactly I'm thick.
It's the peach cobblers, fried chicken, the collard greens, and then when you get deep into Atlanta. Got all that plus the lean, the weed, the perks. When you mix soul food and drugs, all you're going to have is a fat boy trail.
So, but, okay.
Drewski. Drewski is a perfect example of that.
I don't think
but you have, that. Okay, but you have white little, you have white boys that, like, are kind of like Lil Pump doing lean and shit.
If they mama could
yes!
cook like my mama.
He has a point. He has a point.
If they mama
he
could cook like point. My mama, they look just like me.
That's he has a point.
He has a point. He has a great point, bro. He did say food and drugs.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous combination. Food and drugs is a dangerous combination. See, y'all have food and drugs out there, but when I went to California, y'all ain't even had sweet tea.
We do have sweet. We have like Arnold Palmer's. You know what an Arnold Palmer is? Yeah.
The lemonade provides the sweet. Arnold Palmer's in Atlanta is sweet tea and sugary-ass lemonade. It's like...
It is sugar on top of, yeah.
You ever went to American Deli and got the American? Mm-hmm. That's our
that
so
sugary.
I had to stop
bro.
Eating it, actually.
Yeah, that's just bad.
That shit's so
I had
sugary,
to stop eating
bro.
It because it was weird. I started eating a lot of fish, and then I actually can't eat red meat no more, too, because I just think I've been eating so much fish. I don't know if fish is cleaner than red meat. I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, fish and chicken is cleaner than pork.
Right. So... I had to stop eating, like, American Deli. I'm not saying stop eating American Deli before people just start, like, going crazy on me. But I'm just saying, like, it was a lot of grease, and now it would make me, like, nauseous going in there because I would just smell all the grease and stuff.
So you don't even excited. Eat fried fish?
Bro? I can eat fried fish.
Okay.
But American Deli, like, something about – even Wingstop is kind of like that with me.
My favorite restaurants is the restaurants you can walk in there and smell the diabetes.
Right. Totally.
Oh, I want to smell the crack too. Yeah, if I can smell the crack, nigga, it's all God.
Like,
oh God.
I eat.
Smell like diabetes and cracks. Like, JJ's fish is a perfect example.
Oh, my
God. I like JJ's.
You walk into JJ's, you smell diabetes, crack, and then it's a strong aroma of high cholesterol. Mm-hmm. And that's what gets me.
Hey, what's worse though? A fly or a mosquito?
What type of fly? Because I hate the, like, I'd rather get, because mosquitoes, they'll bite you and go on about your business, or you can kill them right then. A fly just bothers you, and they have hella elusiveness. Like, flies are so elusive.
And fast, bro. Like,
you can't kill a fly. At least a mosquito, that bitch get on me, I say, fucker.
Mm-hmm. But now you're left with a bump that's going to itch for, like, a whole week.
Ah, that's fast.
Damn, from the grave, they still bothering your shit.
But I get the satisfaction of taking his life. That's crazy to say.
You do get the satisfaction of doing that shit.
I don't get to do that all the time, though, because, like, bugs, when they bite me, they'll always bite me in my sleep or, like, when I'm just outside like this and I just don't feel them.
All right.
Yeah, I don't feel shit. Like,
please don't prove me right, but, like, okay, you're light-skinned. When you get bumped, I mean, when you get bit, do you have, like, what is that, pus? Like,
ew,
I
no.
Pus. I get pus.
You don't get the pus or anything like that? You get pus?
Yeah. Like, when I get bit, like, it, like every time. Ooh, regardless of what bites me.
I thought it was only light skins.
No, I have real sensitive skin, though. That's what I think it is.
Oh, okay.
Like, you remember that time when we came back from Tybee Island, I had that fat-ass sun burn on the back of my neck. Like, my skin is just sensitive. Like, it just do shit like that. I had a sunburn for a day and it shit went away.
I have sensitive skin too, but it's not like that. It's more like, okay, I don't know what it's called. I've never got diagnosed for it, but if I were to scratch myself right now and it would be the slightest thing, it'll well
up. Mm-hmm. My mom's skin is
y'all
like
can't
that.
Tell me I ain't hear that shit.
I ain't hear nothing, bro.
Okay. All right.
I think he just wants to get chased.
Nah, I ain't
come get
shit.
Him.
L2 After Dark, the spooky series.
I ain't hearing shit.
You schizophrenic?
I know what you did last summer.
It's a party going on down the street.
Oh, okay.
We should go.
It's, it's a whole bunch of goddamn deltas down the street.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oops. Interesting.
Parents are home, though.
God.
All right, so what can we be expecting from you?
Who? That's a great question. Right now, I'm just focused on content. I had just dropped a project project. Bitch Stewie, go stream it.
Okay.
Pressure is my best song on there, by the way. So
you believe in having a best song?
When it comes to analytics, yes. But, you know, for me personally, as far as, like, what I think is my best song, it could be totally different from what everyone else likes. Because when you're an artist, you're the hardest critic on yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, I do think Pressure for me, sonically and, like, you know, globally, it's my best song because it could reach and relate to a lot of people. It could go and play in the club. But, like, if I really would be honest, like, I would say, like, my first song, BSC, I call it Bitch Stewie's Coronation. But I say that's my best song. Or Real Shit. I do like Real Shit a lot. Just because it's, like, I'm really rapping. Pressure is about, you know, sex and stuff. But it's what sells at the end of the day.
So,
unfortunately.
With Real Shit, was that the one where you were talking about how, like, your grandfather passed from cancer?
No. That was Bitch Stewie's Coronation. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He died from cancer. He actually died last August. Yeah.
Wow, this was recent.
Yeah, it was.
That's crazy. My grandpa died around the same time. Well, not like year-wise, but when it comes to... Well, he didn't die from cancer. He died from old age, but he had cancer up until his death.
Yeah, he used to...
In August, but it was August of 2016.
Yeah. Mine had liver cancer, unfortunately, but...
Mine had pancreatic.
Damn.
But he lived with it. Like, he beat it, but it was still... Like, they couldn't remove the tumor. He just had to do whatever. I don't remember.
Damn.
How close were you to your grandfather?
He was a family man, so he loved all of us. So, we like to call ourselves the first four. It's my cousin Taylor. Shout out to Taylor Beauty if she ever sees this. She does hair. Yeah, she's going to be my celebrity stylist one day. My cousin Daniel and my other cousin Martin, I also call him JoJo. We were the first four. So it was Daniel, JoJo, Taylor, then me. And we were like the first four grandkids of the generation. We're all in our 20s now. All the other ones are still babies or like just getting into high school or still in high school. So for a while, we were like really close with him. And then, you know, my aunts and uncles kept having children. Yeah, just popping babies out, you know, just nothing too shabby.
Yeah.
But he's a big family man, so he loved all of his grandchildren, and he was just very close with all of us. And he's actually a Taurus too, like me, so I was close with him on that type of level. Because we were, like, kind of the same person. Like, he likes to eat, I like to eat. People say we're stubborn. For a long time, I didn't believe I was stubborn, but a lot of people started telling me I was just naturally stubborn. That I guess I just started believing it, and now I just say I'm stubborn.
But, okay, when I say stubborn, it's like...
Grounded?
My ex was a Taurus also.
Okay.
She...
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You got a bad... She... Ex, oh, God.
Listen. She never thought she was wrong. Like, but she would stay 10 toes down in whatever she did. Granted, she was a good person, so she damn near didn't do anything wrong.
Ask him if I'm stubborn. He'll let you know.
Me and you are both that way.
And you do got a point.
Like,
me
and you are just like, you've literally said, nigga, you're wrong. Show me how I was wrong. And then I still, like, I would stand 10 behind.
But come on now. You can't say, you got to give me some credit. If I'm wrong, I'll be like, damn, I fucked up. My bad. Or I'll be like, hey.
It take a minute.
Okay, but.
For me, it takes a minute, too.
But what I'm telling you, I've never heard her say, you know what? I was wrong.
But it takes a minute.
But granted, like I said, she barely fucked up. Like, I was doing the fucking...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That, but, like, it takes... Like, we both that way. Like, the other day, we was having... What was the argument about? Not the one in my room. Not the one in my house. The one in my room. What was we arguing about in my room?
Kickball game.
It wasn't that.
That's what we was arguing about.
That was at my house. I'm talking about at school.
I don't know.
Shit, fuck it. We was arguing about something. And then he called me out, and I was like, oh, shit, I did say that, didn't I? I forgot what it was.
I did say that, didn't
Damn,
I?
Damn, my bad. You right.
No, but I do feel like when the Zodiacs... Okay, another question then. I'm asking y'all questions.
Nah, shit, go for it.
I love it when people ask us questions.
I like getting to know the people that like are wanting to get to know me. I don't understand why people just... You know, this is actually off topic, but like I don't like when people... I'm not even saying like on my level, like underground or whatever. They're still coming up and like acting all egotistical and shit. thinking like everyone fucking know them and like no one really gives a shit.
I feel like you have to.
See, and we was just talking to Surf about that actually.
I feel like you have to.
You have to know that because, well, go ahead, Trey. What was you saying?
I mean, even regardless of the conversation I was having with Surf, I feel like you have to, in order for you to actually be somebody, the person that you want to be, you have to separate yourself from other people. Now, I'm not saying you absolutely have to be a dickhead to everybody that tries to reach out to you. You still need that level of realness, but like, for the most part, I understand why people create that celebrity in their head, especially when people start gassing it up. Mm-hmm. They start creating that figure. It helps them become that person that they want to be, and it helps them see themselves in that light. On the other hand, I think it's bullshit, but I feel like some people have to do that in order to be that person that they want to be.
I do agree with that, but at the same time, I be feeling like a lot of them take it too far, and they will just act like they really got millions of people watching them when they really only got like 300 people watching them. And 300 people is a lot. I feel like a lot of people think like Instagram followers, they see a 300,
like, and be like, oh, that's here is a lot.
Like, that's a lot of fucking people. But at the same time, you know, social media has this status thing, even the blue check shit. Like, niggas be buying blue checks. Oh, who are you? Who? And it's just like, and you only got
a blue check?
Yeah, people be buying blue checks. People buy everything. You could buy anything. Money talks all languages.
L2M is about to be blue checks.
How much a blue check cost?
I don't know, but you know, I know I've gotten offered. Like, I could show you my phone right now and be like, hey, you want a blue check? Hey, you want a blue check? Hey, you want a blue check? I'm like, what the fuck? Instagram actually jelly.
You know, the clout comes with a blue check, though.
Exactly, though. And that's my point. Like, you be.
Lots of us.
We know. He went the right way. He went the right way.
You know,
we had our friend Samaj Savage. We interviewed him up in New Jersey, and he has a blue check. Like, we asked him how he got it. He was like, you have to have fake accounts, you have to send in the application, and it's one more thing that I always forget. You have to have people who are pretending to be you. You have to send in an application. You have to have
A group. You have to have a group of people.
Yeah.
Like a fan group or something.
You have to have
like
fan
that.
Pages. Like,
yeah, fan page. There
like
we go.
He has Samaj Savage fan page. He has Samaj Savage. This is the like accounts like that. But it's one more thing.
I'm not fucking here.
You talking about the frogs?
I think you just creeped out from the earlier conversation.
No.
It's like we have like bullfrogs in this bitch. They make loud ass croaks.
All right, continue.
Just blame it on that.
Yeah. I mean, I can't hear it no more. I've been here my whole life.
I feel it.
But
I hope I'm talking right.
Okay. What's the third thing?
Is it like articles written about you?
Yeah, that's definite. That's definite.
I think that was definitely it. Yeah, I think that was it for sure.
Yeah.
I think that was it.
And you have to have like Anyways.
I don't like that. You know why? You know why? Because when we was doing this kickball thing, you said you're on Team Trey.
Yeah.
Team Million is taking the dubs regardless. And I was like, damn, that kind of hurt.
No.
I was like, damn, that hurted me. That hurted me.
Wait, did y'all used to play sports?
I played baseball, yes. Football.
Football, basketball.
Captain on everything. Damn. I never played basketball. I stopped playing basketball in high school.
I played basketball. But, okay, I was going to say he seems more competitive, but you did both, so it doesn't even matter.
No, he's way more competitive.
Okay.
I'm like, I just want to have fun. I just want to go out there. Like, I always had those coaches like, hey, bro, just have fun. And I always have fun, and we end up winning. Million is like, bro, we can't fucking lose. And you know what's crazy? Whenever me and Mill play together, our team always wins, right? He said, bro, this shit unfair, bro. We can't be on the same team. So he doesn't like winning. He likes to win, but it has to be a competition. Like, me and Mill was dead ass on the same basketball team the other day. We went like, what, 7-6-0? Like, we was cooking. And he was like, bro, we got to break this team up, bro. We got to break this team. And we literally had to. It
Mad
was
that
me,
you
Million, Khalil, and Zay. Khalil is literally the worst player I've ever seen play basketball in my life. I'm decent. Million and Zay was probably the two best niggas. He's like, bro, this team is unfair. The niggas on the other team was definitely better than us.
And still losing?
Still losing.
They wasn't better than
us.
We blew them out 2 times. And I was like, all right, this shit ain't fun. It's not fun. It's not fun.
That's what, okay, I will agree with that. When you don't have competition, it kind of makes what you're doing not fun.
Shit,
like, that's the fun.
They was competing with me then. I had competition out there. I was sweating that bitch.
It's not fun, bro. Oh, okay. But back to what you had said, though, about the people with their personalities. Surfer's pretty much saying, in essence, summarizing what he said, that it's like a form of manifesting. It's like, if I act like this person, then I eventually will become this person. Do you believe that?
But are you acting? Yes, I do believe that. But at the same time, are you acting like that to people that have been around in your circle for a cool minute? Or, like, are you acting like that to, like, a fan? Because sometimes the people in your circle are fans of you. Mm-hmm. But you can't be treating them like, oh, like, I got this many people in my DMs now. I can't really be fucking with you. Like, I can't really give you a song right now. Or they be charging for verses. I'm like,
so you actually,
who's listening to your shit?
You actually had some people do that?
Yes. Okay, so I'm not going to call him out, but he's an L.A. artist.
You might as well. I'll blank it out.
I'm kind of media trained. Now
I'm kind of media trained.
But what was it? Yeah, so I had, this was like two projects ago, I want to say. No, maybe a project ago. I had wanted him to get on a song, and he going to tell me, mind you, I have way more followers than him, and he over here talking about, oh, it's 400 for the hook and something for the, I'm like, 400? Like, who the fuck is listening to you? Like, you don't even have people on fucking Spotify. What's your monthly listeners looking like? Like, what is your Instagram count? Like, at the end of the day, numbers do matter, but at the same time, like, I did a music, this is a, also a person, before I even started taking music seriously, I used to freelance model. This was the first person I ever modeled for or, like, did a music video for fucking free. And you over here charging me for a damn verse and knowing damn, like, what the hell?
I don't, as an artist, I don't understand the whole charging for a verse before you blow. I
thank
never
you! Thank you, bro. You about to make,
like,
me something.
Okay, like, my, like, you know Huncho, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know he got the song Let's Get It. But before he ever blew up, like, now he charged for features. But before, whenever I would...
Hunchoville?
No.
Oh.
This nigga named Huncho. He from
okay,
Atlanta.
We piped up.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought you were talking about someone I knew.
Nah, okay, so this is rapper named Huncho. He kind of blowing up type right now type shit. But, like, before he would do verses for anybody. Like, he'd do open verse challenges before they was even popping on TikTok. Like, he'll do, and whoever won, like, whoever had the best verse, he'll put them on the song. If he'll, like, literally post on his story, hey, like, I'm doing features right now. Send me your song, I'll do it. And he'll have that shit back in 20 minutes. Like,
bruh.
Yeah, like, that's how you get your name out there. You don't get your name out there for saying, hey, bro, you want a verse from me? It's 200. Like, you have to.
You're not getting a verse.
That's what I'm saying. You have to collaborate with people.
Exactly.
Like, that's how you get.
Even with producers, like, when I be asking, when producers just be sending me beats, and next thing you know, I like the beat. Oh, it's 100 for the exclusive. Like, no one's fucking with your beats like that. Like, I have more people.
I understand producers, though.
Why?
Because it takes a lot of time to make that beat. And we met this dude.
It's like
named,
art.
Yeah, we
but
met.
But recording
this dude,
is a process, too.
But we met this dude named, what, Seven? What was his name? The producer that we met, I forgot his name, but he was like, "All right, so if you were going to work, if you were going to go to work a 9-to-5, right?
Mm-hmm.
They gonna pay you $12.50 an hour,
mm-hmm.
or whatever minimum wage is. I'm making this beat. I feel like my time is worth $50 an hour. So if it take me 3 hours to make this beat, I'm gonna charge you $150.
But why is your beat valuable?
They gotta buy the programs. They have to buy the equipment. They invested themselves into that.
It's
and then it's coming out of their mind. Like music, like rapping. I feel it's the same way with rapping, but anybody, like everybody's rapping nowadays. So it's not a lot of niggas don't even write their music. A lot of niggas just go in the studio. And make
I do,
songs,
by the way. Okay.
In
yeah.
An hour.
That is true, but at the same time, when no one is actually buying. You have to make your product. You can't just say my product is valuable because I put so much time into it. Yes, it's valuable to you. But to me, someone that doesn't know you and someone that doesn't really care, why is this valuable? Okay, you put a lot of time into it. I put a lot of time into other shit. Okay, and?
But isn't that kind of how, like, the high-end Louis Vuitton Gucci's kind of got started? Like, nobody knew who the fuck Gucci was at one point.
Did they start giving their bags away for free or charging for the... For what?
I'm not sure, honestly. I would have to do some research. But I would I'm sure they wasn't, like, giving their shit up for free or even doing, like, $2 bags type shit. They had to make it super expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was probably always expensive to the time. But you got to think about it. They're made out of genuine leather.
Exactly.
Well, they were.
But that's what
they
you were saying, though. If this person is putting in that amount of time, like, in a Louis Vuitton bag, it's like, hey, like, I kind of understand that.
Okay, so, like, question. You guys do a podcast, right?
Right.
You guys get viewers.
Yeah.
You guys get, like, thousands of views. I've seen some.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you charging people to get interviewed?
No. But
why?
But, okay.
You have value to your content.
But, Okay, but I seen this perfect thing. All right, so Polo G, right? He posted Adam 22 posted how much he made off his podcast. He was like, I make multi seven figures a month off of No Jumper, right? So he was like, damn, these niggas making $1 million a month, and then we're going on their shows for free. The reason why I feel as if we interview people, or podcasters interview people for free, and y'all get interviewed for free, because it's equal opportunity. I can gain something from you coming to my platform. You can gain something from coming onto our platform. You know what I'm saying? Like, now you're able to, I'm being exposed to your audience, and in turn, you're being exposed to ours. It's an equal opportunity share. So it's no point in me saying, hey, bro, if you want to come on this show, I'm gonna need you to pay me $500. Like, that's not cool.
So wouldn't it be the same thing with producers and working with artists, and they're both not known?
But all producers, like, you can't name a single producer that don't have that one artist that they just work with. Like, I know one artist, or even videographers, like Vamp and my boy Blake. You know them. Mm-hmm. Vamp and Blake, like, they do everything together for free, because like, Vamp posts Blake music videos on his channel and get paid. Blake gets the free promo from the, and free music videos. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything is, you got to have that one person, so, because now I'm able to showcase my work. So I feel as if, like, Smino and Monte Booker, I know for a fact Smino ain't paying for Monte Booker beats, but they both gained. Now Monte Booker's able to say, like, look, Smino got these hoods and I produced it. And now other people are reaching out and working with Monte Booker.
That's true. I will give you that. I do think every producer should have an artist that they work with and, like, create a sound with them. But then, you know, when you have other people still, you know, in your circle, and you, like, you and your artist still not blown up yet, like, you still have to be able to collab with other people outside of your artist to make people know you more. Like, it's just like, I just feel like more collaborations. One thing I did learn when I was doing modeling is sometimes you have to do shit for free. And when you do shit for free, you get more exposure, because people are more willing to work with you when they don't have to pay you.
But, and my fault, I didn't mean to get off topic, but no. I'm going back to the producer thing. I feel I have a bias towards producers, because they don't get a lot of back end money. A lot of their money comes from the front end.
You think so?
For sure.
Where do you think that?
All right, so my uncle produced a track on Stankonia, the Outkast album.
Mm-hmm.
He has a Grammy sitting in his basement right now. He lives in my... Oh, damn, I don't want to expose this nigga.
I'm gonna need to meet him, though.
All right, so my uncle, he lives in my aunt's basement. He lives in his sister's basement.
Mm-hmm.
He has a Grammy sitting on his shelf right now. He's not getting any money from that track. He got the $300, $400 that he charged to produce and mix the track for Stankonia.
Damn, he don't get royalties.
No residual.
But that's kind of on him.
Did he sign anything?
I'm saying that's kind of on him, though.
I don't know the story 100%. He told me when I was like
14. He set himself up, bro.
And then, like, if you go on to one of these, I forgot what song it was, but you'll see Jarvis Black shit, or the first one there.
So, two things can happen in that situation. So, he could have... So, naturally, when a producer and an artist do a song, a producer automatically gets 50% of the song. Either he just didn't sign up for that and didn't sign nothing when it came down to it, or he just didn't see that or didn't know at the time.
No, what I will say is, at that point in time when the album initially dropped, he was rolling. Like, now he's not rolling. But when that album dropped, like, mm-hmm. he was rolling. Like, my uncle, like, BMW, taking us out on nice-ass dinners. I mean, he couldn't do that after, you know, shit hit the fan. But, like, when it first dropped, and I feel like part of it was a mismanage of money, but I feel like on the other hand, at least from that personal, that one scenario, I was like, damn, he put all this time and effort to those two or three tracks, and now he can't. He has nothing to show for it, but the Grammy that he got from the shit.
I have a real quick question for y'all.
Yeah.
So I always ask people about, like at this point, it's inevitable. Like, I think that we're working towards our dreams, and we're gonna get there, right?
Yes, so we're manifesting it.
We're manifesting it, but we're also working towards it. So I know it's inevitable at this point. We're eventually going to be something big. I'm calling it right now. As long as we keep working towards it, right?
You heard it here first, folks.
As long as we keep working towards it, remember that.
Facts.
But now my biggest fear at this point is, like, what happens when we do get up there and, like fall off? What would stop? How would y'all, like, stop that from happening?
You can't stop a fall off.
Describe fall saying. Off.
Like
you just stop being consistent, or no, like no, you no, just
like,
start
no, like, still putting out stop, shit, but like people just stop fucking
with DaBaby out of nowhere.
What do you mean out of nowhere? everywhere.
Bro, the baby was on top of the world. And
the baby called out homosexual people and said, if you was sucking dick or whatever the fuck.
That's a bad example.
But before all that, they were saying, bro, the baby keep making the same one song. He keep making the same one song. Like, he didn't help his case at all.
Yeah.
But I'm saying at the beginning of his fall from grace, it was all, people was like, man, y'all keep listening to the baby. He make the same song every single time to the point where people are like, they want, like, I don't understand what people want from artists like you guys. Like they want you to have your one sound when you blow up. But after you have that one sound, now you got to switch it up. But don't switch it up too much because then I'm not going to like that. Like, I don't understand.
It's hard and it's difficult. Okay, like, so I'm just saying, like, how would you stop becoming a one-hit wonder type shit? Like,
yeah. My bad, Millie. I didn't mean to take off.
Nah, you good. But I'm just saying that's the question. Like, a one-hit wonder, that's one of my biggest fears. Like, what if we had, you know, one really good podcast that blew up that got us our name out there and then we just fell off type shit? Like, it happens with people. Like Silento, I'll say Silento. Who knows? That nigga could have been putting out hella music.
I thought
afterwards.
He went to jail, didn't he?
He did, but that was way after.
But think about
that was way after.
It's all about. Oh my fault. This is your question.
Yeah. So how would you combat that?
I mean, one, I think it's the financial literacy of knowing what to do with the money that you get from the come up. Mm-hmm. So you know, I feel like you have to be at least educated enough to know that this isn't going to last forever. You have to come into this game knowing this is not going to last forever. Right. I know that. I know that when I'm damn near probably 27, 26, maybe 30, and I'm like not making music no more, you know, it's not working or it's a new trend of, you know, whatever the case may be of what the sound is, I'm going to have to venture out into something else. That's why I feel like I personally look up to Rihanna because even though she doesn't make any money from her music, I won't say any money, but most of her money, she went into beauty. She went into other sectors, and now she's a billionaire.
Right.
So even with Beyonce, Beyonce is not going to want to sing forever. She doesn't. So she went and got an endorsement deal with Adidas. I just feel like, you know, you have to have a backup plan on top of your plan A. Plan A is to make it. Okay, you did that. Now you're going to have to rock this wave until you can't no more. Kanye, for example, he, you know, was producing. Then he started rapping. Then he started going as a clothes. Like, I feel like when you have your brand and it's established, you got a fan base, you need to back off. You need to, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Have a backup plan. It's not always going to be, you know, the same thing over and over and over again. And then a one-hit wonder type thing, again, you're going to have a backup plan. If you really want to keep doing the music shit, well, you got to have more music to come out with. That's probably similar to the sound. I honestly think that's why Megan Thee Stallion, she's still doing the, you know, a lot of people say she's one-dimensional. I can't disagree with that because I do believe she's so damn talented, but she is only talking about the same thing, and I feel like she's doing that because she's scared to, if she goes into other sectors, then she's gonna fall off, like you mentioned. But the thing with Megan Thee Stallion is she has a fan base now that is expecting her to do other shit. Because nowadays you do have to be versatile as an artist, but I feel like being versatile doesn't mean you have to do like, oh, I'm gonna do country, I'm gonna do pop, I'm gonna do hip hop, then I'm gonna do lo-fi, then I'm gonna do R&B. Like, you don't gotta do all that. You gotta pick like at least three main genres and then stick to that. That's what Drake do.
Yeah.
Drake going to reggae, pop, hip hop, and I don't hear anything else that he really does.
And one of the things that Drake says is like, it's once you're at the top, it's hard. The hardest thing is staying on top.
Right.
That's the biggest fear for me. Like, I just, that's what I want to figure out next. Because the way that we're going right now, I genuinely feel like if we keep putting in our effort, posting damn near every day, I just feel like we're there.
I feel like, okay. And I just want to wrap up just because we'll
have
that.
Yeah, I feel it. Go ahead.
I'm just scared of what the audio is going
to sound. No, I'm already knowing. Go ahead.
But just to end it off, like, my biggest fear isn't really falling off. Like, I feel like it's a lot harder to fall off than what people make it to seem like. I feel like it's easy, but you, like you said, like, you could depict the things that niggas do wrong when they fall off. Like James Charles.
Yeah.
You saw that shit coming. Like, you was like, oh yeah, this is what it looks like when somebody's falling from grace.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel as if the hardest thing about falling from grace is allowing yourself to continue to go towards that downward spiral.
and then watching yourself like just fall off. Like, I think that's what makes it so hard for people. Like, I'm trying to think of a perfect example.
6'9".
But I don't really feel like he fell off. You I feel like he so? Found. I feel like he found a completely new lane. I feel like he said, "Okay, music's not gonna work for me anymore. I'm still gonna drop songs because I have like some people with like who fuck with that. But let me just be an internet troll. Like he's a professional internet troll. He does videos with Steve Will Do It. He does video like he does hella YouTube videos. If you search up 6ix9ine, like he's found a new lane. He's took his celebrity and moved it elsewhere. Somebody who I feel like didn't do some shit like that is probably." Damn, it was a rapper that just got arrested who had a hitting back in the 2000s. He got arrested with his mom for having a prostitution ring.
I know what you're talking about. I know.
Like, niggas like that, like, they can't make music no more, so, like, fuck it, now I gotta do something bad. Like, that's a tier, like...
MC Hammer.
Yeah.
MC Hammer.
No, but what fell off with him?
Oh, he fell off. I mean, time changed. Nigga wasn't into that rap style no more. Like, because like, he was, like, a late 80s, early 90s, but from 90s to the mid-90s to late 90s, niggas started... evolving shit. Like you went from a hip hop, a hippity hop to what Tupac, Snoop Dogg, and Bone Thugs and Harmony, Biggie. Like they changed, they started to change that landscape. Yeah. But this was the Listen in the Millions podcast. Thank you for coming to.
Thank you for having me again. Take a dip I enjoyed our conversation. This was a nice conversation.
We would have kept on going, but the shit fucking died.
Yeah, we're gonna figure this out. One day we're gonna do things where everything is perfect.
We are gonna get a PR person. when we can afford it. When we actually make our first scene.
We're gonna talk to him. He gonna figure it out. He gonna help us figure it out. So we can stop fucking shit
up. For sure. For sure.
Shout out to Chase, man.
Yeah, but for sure.
We're out. Peace.
Bye, guys.